We've arrived now at the morning that concludes Paschal time for our readings. And so we just heard how the book of Acts ends and how the Gospel of John ends, which have been our two readings all the way through Paschal time. Paul ultimately was martyred in Rome, but he, for 2 years, he was able to preach the gospel there. He couldn't go anywhere else if he wanted to, because he was chained to a guard. So he wasn't free to go evangelize, you know, north or whatever. He had to stay right there. But he stayed there for 2 years. That was God's providence. And then he sealed that witness, as Peter did in the same city, with his death. And so that's how, he says, it is on account of the hope of Israel that I wear these chains. I am proclaiming the fulfillment of the hope of Israel. The gospel ends in this chapter 21 with reflections. First, there must have been confusion among the brethren about whether John was going to die. He was getting old. He was in his 90s, it seems. And he was still alive. All the other apostles had died, mostly martyred. And here he still is. So that saying about, what if I want him to remain until I come, got to be interpreted, he's going to be around until I come back. Thinking, of course, they were thinking of a rather foreshortened time. We now know it's at least 2,000 years, might be 2,000 more. But so they're trying to clear that up. And then we have these lines, it is this disciple who testifies to these things. Now, there's a good indication that this last part is meant to be a conclusion not only to John, but to all four Gospels. It's definitely part of the Gospel after years of, it's an appendix, it was added, and, you know, it's part of the Gospel. And it might be the conclusion to all of the Gospels, you see. And the point is that there is so much more that Jesus said and did that the Holy Spirit saw fit not to have recorded. Now, we do have little sayings of Jesus, or attributed to Jesus. One, Paul says, right? As Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. It's not in the Gospels. It's a saying of Jesus that we have, thanks to Paul quoting it, but it never made its way into the Gospels. There were many like that. There's one beautiful one. It may not be from Jesus, but it was a strong principle in the early little pilgrim nascent church. If you see your brother, you see the Lord your God. Now that's a very deep one. Huh? Why? Because whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And here he is. Here he is. And so, if you really see your brother, you see the Lord your God. That was the principle upon which Christian hospitality was based in the early church. If you're a Christian, come in. No more questions. And they were wandering preachers and wandering prophets. many of whom were very authentic. They gave up the security of home, 3 meals a day, and they just wandered and preached. What does this bring us to in the morning, when tonight we're going to celebrate Pentecost, the completion of the Lord's plan? After Pentecost, we have the history of the life of Christ in the church. We just read the early part of that, because that's what the book of Acts is. It's not really the notion, the Acts of the Apostles. The word Acts, praxis, it was used, praxis of so-and-so, the praxis of so-and-so, the Acts of so-and-so. So this book was named the Acts of the Apostles. But really, if you want to name it, it's the Acts of God. God is the main actor in the book of Acts. He guides everything that happens. And here we have this conclusion. The notion that most of the apostles were martyred, but John evidently was not, is just one of those facts of the early church. So, what we have here is the ending. The ending. As you know, we go through Matthew 1 year, Mark another year, Luke another year. We never go through John like that, because most of John is what we do for the 90 days that we have here, particularly the latter 50. John is the gospel. And he speaks about the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so it is as well a description of the life of the church. We ended, we didn't do the 18, 19 and so forth again. That's the Passion in John. We ended the reading in 17, which is the prayer of Jesus. That prayer is the prayer that is in his heart always. It's the prayer he says right now in the very depth of the church when he prays. And so our reflections end on that. And without having the big octaves we used to have, we're dumped rather unceremoniously on the Monday after Pentecost, back at the old regular stuff, if you know what I mean. And that's because that's life. The time after Pentecost is our life. And we need to be told, don't judge, stop judging or you'll be judged. We need to hear these things. And so the Lord's teaching in the other three Gospels carries us through life. And John's gospel carries us up so that we see where we're going and what is the meaning of our life. I thought maybe you'd be interested in a little bit of why the church does what it does with these readings. Huh? And while it's not perfect, the importance of the breakthrough at Vatican II to reinstate was called Lectio Continua, a continuous reading to get to know the Gospels and the Old Testament. Because, as you know, the Old Testament witnesses to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In the upper room, in Luke 24, Jesus comes back and he explains to all his disciples what was written in the law, the writings, and the Psalms about himself, or what was written in the scriptures. The only scriptures at that point were the Old Testament. And you can argue from the Old Testament to the reality, the majesty, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The early fathers of the church did it. Justin, Irenaeus, and so forth. And so we have one scripture, and it's all Christ. Now that we see this, you see, that's been one of the joys of my life. And as we make advances, for instance, we all know that there's 1st Isaiah and 2nd Isaiah and 3rd Isaiah. That's right. From the language, from the preoccupations, you can easily see this thing from chapter 1 to chapter 66 was not written as a block. But what you have to take trouble to see is that it is edited as one unified statement. What is written in 66 echoes what's written in 1, and so forth. Or the 12 minor prophets, the 12. That's one book. It is edited so carefully by the Jewish scribes themselves that it makes one coherent block of witness while still remaining 12 different books. Why? Because they knew it was witnessing to something. And if we had time, you know, and the work they went to, the work it takes on our part, with the printed text right there in front of us to connect. What about those who so knew those 12 prophets that they could make the connections or edit the connections in? That's scripture. There is a saying, and I'll end with this. This is a little exhortation, you see, because now we're going to get into our, after Pentecost, there's a few more big feasts, but pretty soon we're back wearing green, like the Irish, and it's life lived by faith, with the teaching of the whole of Scripture, you see. You just got to imagine or read a book. Well, it's hard sometimes because a lot of these things depend on the Hebrew text, but that it's meant to rhyme and hang together is so clear. They say of the old Anshei HaSefer, the old men of the book, who are still, well, I don't know, they used to be in Eastern Europe. They sat all day and read the scriptures. And they knew them. They knew them. They lived by them. And they were sanctified by them. So this typical Jew is saying, if you take a pin and put it through a letter in the book on the page, they can tell you what letter it went through on the other side. Now that's, of course, Semitic eloquence and exaggeration. But the idea is they knew the text. And that's something we have yet to acquire. Even here in this lovely charismatic community, how many people read the Bible at least a half hour a day? How many people know it? And we do better than most. But it's important. Now that I'm, I don't know what I am, old or something. I mean, it's enough for me to just read the Bible. I have to do other stuff. But it's such a gift. So we end now John's Gospel and Acts, which are the two books that get us through all of Paschal time. Now we'll celebrate Pentecost. And then we'll have the time after Pentecost, which is our time. Here we are. And that's one of the reasons why the church says, wear green, because green is a sign of hope. It's not supposed to be a letdown. It's a sign of hope. The Lord is with us, working. We understand the beginning of our church, the acts of God in the book, but that's still going on, and some more glorious. There are more martyrs in our century than all the others added up together. There's a lot of people who have laid down their life for Christ.